welcome to Stay Cognizant. I'm joined today by VG Krishnamurti. VG, welcome. So let's dive in. Obviously, you're kind of sitting at the vanguard of what's happening right now in the industry. And I think there's so many things that, you know, I want to talk about with you today. But I'm going to start actually by, you know, going backwards a little bit. Greg Pavlik, who is part of your organization, gave an interview early in the year where he said that, you know, two of the big ways that he sees AI impacting the future are chain of thought and iterative reasoning, right? These are two things that go hand in hand and sort of enabling this ability to, you know, complex, more and more complex sequences of ideas. And then, you know, repetitive refinement, right? So the way that that data is being parsed is getting smarter and smarter. And I'm wondering, you know, what kind of progress are you seeing over the last 9 months since he said that? Was he right? You know, what's the progress in those spaces? And what would you add to that list of the big advances that are coming from generative AI? A lot of the things that you've talked about over the course of this conversation, we're talking about enterprise environments that are complex, where there is a high degree of whether it's unstructured, whether it's structured data that, you know, is being mined on a regular basis to make decisions. And I can only imagine a lot of ways, a lot of pitfalls that may be a part of the process of some of these enterprises adopting generative AI. What are the challenges that you see, and how is Oracle, you know, stepping in to help enterprises get through these challenges so they can leverage these, you know, these environments and scenarios and use cases that you're talking about?
I have always been in the emerging tech, like, you know, throughout my career, like after my PhD.
So you're a pivotal person helping people leap into the unknown.
Yeah, so, you know, since my PhD, I was a data scientist and machine learning, AI-based deployments, and now Gen AI. And I was in IoT for a period of time as well. So every new technology, when it is released, there's always a certain amount of expectations. And a certain amount of, explorations and fear happens, right? So so with generative AI, it's a similar case. But the technology is, it's no longer a question as to whether this technology is valuable in enterprise environment, right? Because we've already seen the value. Like, I'm talking about how our service desk is when they are summarizing, auto-summarizing and auto-composing email. As an email at the end of the call, customer service agent can send it quickly to the customers and saying, this is what we discussed and this is what we're going to, these are the things that we agreed to do, right? It's no longer a question whether generative AI is valuable or not. It is extremely valuable. But the pitfalls and lessons that we have learned are choosing the right problem as your first problem. You know, some of the explorations are, you know, I want to do a very simplistic use case. And if you do a very simplistic use case, yeah, you can quickly complete that use case, but you may not see, if that use case is not frequently used, you may not see the value.
Right.
If the usage is not substantial enough, you may not be able to achieve the ROI.
Yeah.
Choosing the right use case where generative AI's capabilities can actually deliver high value repeatedly, consistently. In our org, I have a team of applied scientists and engineers and product managers. We actually collaborate with customers and partners to solve the very first problem with them. But the second problem onwards, we see the customers starting to do it on their own because they are actually learning from us and they see, okay, I could do more. I can do this. I can do three more problems, right?
So then the potential becomes visible.
Exactly. And the second aspect that I would say is having a clarity on what is your success criteria. Mm. You know, instead of saying that, oh, I just want to summarize this, or I just want to create a net new content, or I just want to answer any question. Like, that should not be the thing, because then it is difficult for generative AI models are intrinsically creative. And if you are not able to measure its accuracy, you're not going to be able to measure its value, right? So to ensure that your success criteria is clear, like, I want to go from takes me 5 minutes to read, I'm putting the customer on hold, into less than 10 seconds, right? You know, that's a very measurable one that you could actually do. Third one is, where are you going to use your human in the loop? Some of the aspects of your success criteria is subjective, and you don't have historical data to really validate and make it less subjective. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have human in the loop. Like, for example, in some of the CX knowledge assistant RAG agent use cases, we actually don't provide the answer directly to the customer, but we provide it to a live agent, and live agent is looking at it and then providing it to the customer. It's almost like an assisting a live agent. In this case, we know that this is where the human agent is going to be, and if this human agent is going to be, in what format I have to provide so that they can quickly scan and then answer the question.
Right.
So that's very important to understand at what aspects that you're going to have the human and what sort of expectation that you have on them, like whether they are going to have quick validation or maybe considered as a one more point in addition to what they come up with. And the fourth category of thing that I would put it into a very large bucket is understanding your inferencing requirements, whether you're going to do it, like, you know, whether it is a conversational side that you want to have it immediately, or whether it is okay to have a few seconds for the agent to, you know, route through multiple agent and then get the answer. And then whether you're going to have what sort of evaluation metric that you're going to log, you know, as you inference every time for continuous improvement. And whether it is going to be a multi-turn or is a multiple task kind of implementation. So you have to look at those. Sometimes I see projects where maybe you've chosen a very simplistic problem that is not heavily used, or the success criteria is unclear, whether the human in loop is there at what point, or the lack of clarity on the inferencing requirements results in projects that actually end up in POC as the last stage, which is not what where we want to be. We want every POC to be going into production and delivering value. So our suggestion to all of our customers is that let's spend more time in understanding what the use case, what the success criteria, where you're going to have the human, what sort of inferencing requirements you have, and let's actually detail it out. And that's what our product managers do, the outbound product managers in our team do. And then we actually document what is the requirement, and then we involve the applied scientist to go solve the problem.
Vijay, this has been a wonderful conversation, and you've covered so many really fascinating and interesting things that are happening in this landscape. Put on your prognosticating hat for me, my last question. You know, what are you excited about? Where do you see us, you know, 10 years from now with everything that generative AI is capable of now?
Wow. So this is a really great question, right? So obviously I'm a Gen AI enthusiast. So I'm very optimistic about where we are heading. But I, as a scientist, I would, like, I'm actually pretty optimistic about improvements in the planning and reasoning abilities. Like, you know, if you see every day there is a new paper that is getting published, even like, you know, last couple of days, I came across a paper that is actually talking about, can LLM create novel ideas? You know, somebody has done a really nice empirical study on it to show that in what aspects it is able to create novel looking ideas, but it is still having feasibility issues on that ideas. And also sometimes at certain point where it is hitting the ceiling of regurgitating the same ideas, like the uniqueness of the ideas is lower. But there's a lot of improvements happening on the intelligence of the models itself, right? So whether it can really create new ideas, because that is very essential for really going heavy on net new recommendations, recommendation generation, whether it can actually do planning very well, accurately, you know, not planning in the sense like booking a flight ticket to attend a concert, which is kind of a consumer side, which is you have a lot of data in internet and you could actually do the planning better. But how do you do the planning in the enterprise environment? Like, how do I reconcile my GL account, or which particular procurement supplier I should order from? Like, this kind of planning, how do I do it better? How do I reason? How do I get the model to reason better? So I think in these three aspects, I definitely see the model getting better in the next, within the couple of years. In the longer term, like, I also see in the midterm, multi-agent collaborating abilities are going to get better, because once the planning and reasoning abilities get better, you could have more and more agents collaborate with each other with a higher accuracy, and you can actually automate majority of your complex workflows, and you could actually become more of, you know, working on more novel and new things as the business user rather than doing the repeated things that can be done by these multi-agent collaboration, right? In the longer term, there are three aspects that I'm actually pretty excited about. I closely watch and read the research on this is that how do I get the model to be more like, you know, like the way that Daniel Kahneman talked about, like system one and system two capabilities, like kind of get the model to be a AI researcher, you give it a question and it goes off. It doesn't answer immediately based on the answer, but it goes off, explores various scenarios, understands each one of those contexts, puts together those contexts, create a recommendation, validate those recommendations, that is what everyone is working towards, the foundation model, providers are working towards it. That's something that is very exciting. And the other aspect is self-improvement. Like, how do we get the model? Like, for example, if you take an agent, the day one, the agent may know only a little bit, but can the agent ask the same question to itself, like the variety of questions to itself, and then actually improve over time? Mm-hmm. You know, once we have the reasoning ability and the goal setting feature, then you could actually see this happening, because you could actually put an agent with very limited configuration and then get the agent to actually learn over time, because it can reason to say whether the answer is correct or not. It can keep evaluating, like the way how some of the games are improved, right? So the Go game that was improved by DeepMind. So that's something that, you know, I'm really excited about, self-improvement. The other is understanding of the world model. Like, you know, today the large language model knows based on the data that it's provided to, but, you know, providing more multimodal data, as well as the data that is more like, you know, that can be taught to the model, like conversationally, observation way. Because some of the decisions we make are in the enterprise environment, it's not just based on what is in the system. It's also some of the things that we have collected over time. So this is what, like, you know, world model is a very broad term, but how do you really create this experience in the agent? Like, over time, how can the agent become more and more experienced in terms of understanding the context of the world that it survives in, and so that it becomes more and more knowledgeable and more useful, right? So, you know, definitely future is bright, according to me. And I am actually looking forward to seeing more and more, improvements on the foundation model and the ways in which we are applying, as well as the ways in which our partners are extending and the ways in which our customers are using, as a comprehensive picture, in which we will actually see, you know, in a couple of years, like, you know, using generative AI agent is going to become pretty normal.
Yeah.
And then and a few years down the line, you know, it'll become like, you know, why are you even doing it manually? Because you, like the way that we have been, you know, Google Maps, right? You know, people haven't even seen the paper maps. I've seen paper maps because I'm old enough to know that. But that's how it'll become, I think. Like, the agents are going to make most of the business applications automated, and you will see the agents becoming more and more intelligent, more and more useful, more and more helpful.
Fiji, it has been such a pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your, you know, incredibly, you know, thoughtful answers to the questions, and look forward to seeing more of what you and Oracle are doing in